Hi, I'm Cynthia Rothrock, and you're listening to Thinking Outside the Long Box.
We're on the road, we're going home to the place where wild nerds roam with pretty girls and dudes in caves. Going to cons is all.
Hey man, this is Kevin Smith, Silent Bob from all those terrible Jay and Silent Bob type pictures, and you are listening to Thinking Outside the Long Box, comics talk for comics fans.
Hey everybody, and welcome to the Long Box Guys. My name is Tom, one of the many Long Box guys, and with me as always are my good friends Mike, Tom, and Josh. Josh, how you doing and what are you drinking?
I am nervous, but I am drowning that nervousness in a delicious porter called Death by Coconut by Oscar Blues. And in case you thought they were kidding about how much coconut flavor is in this porter, do not be fooled.
Hey, everybody, and welcome to the Long Box Guys. My name is Tom, one of the many, many, many Long Box Guys. And with me, as always, are some of my best friends since I was a little kid. LT, how you doing and what are you drinking?
I am doing okay, and I am drinking Johnny Walker's Blender Batch number 3, and it is delicious.
That sounds delicious. God damn. Josh, how are you doing and what are you drinking?
I am so constipated my back hurts. I didn't even know that could happen.
LT's mom always said you were full of shit, Josh, and now you've proven her correct.
Saving it for another day. And I'm drinking a Sam Smith Nut Brown against my doctor's recommendation.
Fuck doctors.
What did they know?
Bitches.
Stupid, stupid doctors. Mikey, my good friend, how you doing and what are you drinking?
I'm not drinking anything because I'm a teetotaler.
All right, we just heard you open a can of something, but okay.
No, you're wrong.
Well, everyone should get a drink tonight because we're going to be talking about something that I'm sure we're going to be arguing about quite a bit, and that is some of the Marvel and DC movies that have come out recently. And we're also going to talk about a few of the other things that have been going on in the expanded Marvel and DC universe. Josh, you just got back from seeing both JLA and Thor today, correct?
That is correct. And I'm going to pose to you the same riddle I posed to LT and Mike off before we started recording. So the movies ran over each other a bit. So here's what you got to figure out. I could either skip the end of Justice League to get the beginning of Thor, or miss the beginning of Thor to see the last battle in Justice League. What did I do?
Oh, you saw Thor all the way through.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yep, absolutely.
And you were not wrong, my friend. Do you feel you were wrong?
I was kind of happy to get out of there. I feel like I dodged a trident.
I think I'm the only one who's going to have anything good to say about JLA, and I do have a couple good things. Let's start with Thor, because I think we're going to have a little more fun with Thor. Thor Ragnarok, I thought, was a terrific movie. Let's start over with you, LT, just because I think you're one of our bigger Thor fans.
I am actually am not the bigger Thor fan, but I did love Thor Ragnarok. I mean, I had very few problems with Thor Ragnarok. The only things that I didn't really like is, you know, I thought Odin should have gone out in a little bit better of a blaze of glory than he did. I felt him just kind of like...
We should tell everybody spoilers.
Spoilers, yes. There are spoilers everywhere.
If you have
everywhere.
Not seen these movies yet.
That's good. You said that right after he said Odin shouldn't have gone out in a blaze of glory. Good thing you put spoiler right after that, asshole.
You're welcome.
Maybe we can edit a spoiler alert.
Maybe we could just title this spoilers.
LT, go on. And I know your biggest problem is going to be the lack of frogs, but keep going.
You know, I mean, the frogs withstanding, but, you know, he just kind of drifted away in the wind, whereas I felt like he should have been at least taken out in a blaze of glory instead of just drifting off in the wind. That and... There were some very gratuitous sort of still shots before fight scenes that weren't really needed. But other than that, the film was really rock solid and was a very fun action film and was really fantastic. I love the fact that they had, you know, very, very clear Kirby-esque visuals throughout the entire film that I was not expecting. It really was looking like scenes from a 60s Jack Kirby book all throughout the movie. And just about everywhere but Asgard, I would say.
I got to agree with everything you said there. Now, Josh, I've been told a bigger Thor fan than our good friend LT. What did you think?
So here are my main thoughts for the movie. First of all, I agree. No, I don't know. I didn't mind Odin taking his departure. And even though it wasn't in a blaze of glory, it was in a linen suit with a salmon colored shirt, which is fine. It's fine. Fashion spoiler alert. Odin goes out in a linen suit.
I know. A linen suit. I mean, like,
very chilly in Norway that time of year. I can't see wearing linen. It's just awkward.
Yeah, I mean, at least, like, you know, a fur-lined coat.
He's a Norse god.
Yeah.
Doesn't affect him.
True. And linen is super comfy. I mean, there's a little bit of blame to go around, but I get it. I actually liked the stills before the combat. Like, Thor coming down with the lightning bolt onto the bridge. Like, I thought that was amazing. I think the movie was a lot of fun. I don't think it was as good as a lot of the other Marvel offerings as of late. On the funny side, you know, it's like you're basically comparing it to the Guardians of the Galaxy, right? They really made it four color. They really made it just like super campy. It was just an amalgamation of all bunch of things. I was a little disappointed, even though his face is on a statue. No Beta Ray Bill. Kind of angers me.
He's on a statue. That was awesome.
It was, we know, he was up there as one of the champions, but I really I would have liked to have seen Beta Ray. But I liked the film in general. They, you know, come on, Grandmaster was awesome. He was the perfect Grandmaster.
Dude, he had my favorite line. All right, everybody, it takes two to have a insurgency. Good job all around. I'm going to call this a tie. That was awesome. But it wasn't my favorite line. My favorite line from this movie is, are you the god of hammers?
Are you the god of hammers? Huh?
And of course, are you? Captain Hammer is the god of hammers.
Sure.
I loved, loved, loved this movie. You know, I laughed throughout the entire thing. I shouted through the entire thing. I was almost kicked out at 4 points during this movie. Everything about it just tweaked me. It looked so much like a late 70s, early 80s, over-the-top movie from my childhood that I just loved every bit of that. Did any of you guys get to see Flash Gordon in the theaters?
No.
I saw it at a drive-in, but that was probably years after release.
Even though, you know, then good for you, Josh, because that's the way you had to see that particular movie. I've seen it in the theater. I saw it at a drive-in once too, and I thought the drive-in was actually the best experience. That's a big screen movie where when the Hawks come down, everyone should shout and go nuts. I love this movie. Reminded me a lot of Flash Gordon, you know, that super over the top, just heavy metal soundtrack, stupid glorification of everything manly. And it was great. And the weird, like, they decided in the middle of the movie, hey, let's do an episode of The Odd Couple with Hulk and Thor. Okay, why not? Sure. That tickled my fancy.
Thor, we only have 20 minutes to save the Earth. Yeah, I can see the Flash Gordon reference there. I can see that.
There was a lot of stuff like that going on. One of the things I disliked the most was a bunch of the fan talk before this, where everyone was losing their mind that Valkyrie wasn't a white Norse woman. And my biggest thing in that is, all right, the thing that's bothering you most about the giant space opera in which multiple wormholes are dropping spaceships with the Hulk and a God of Thunder in there and, you know, all these other creatures, the thing that's bothering you most is an African-American Valkyrie. We might have to move past that, guys.
I don't think she's from America.
I was going to say, I think she's African-British.
African-British?
She sounded really like she had a British accent in the film.
I thought she was putting that accent on. I thought that was like a Valkyrie accent. Because I've seen her in other stuff.
I don't know.
I just thought she was an Asgardian American.
Asgardian American. That's what I should have said.
I don't really, you know.
Mikey, you're last up on this one. What did you think?
First of all, I like the movie. It's easily the best Thor movie out there and the sixth best superhero movie of the year. And that is every other superhero movie this year has been better. Go ahead, Tom.
I just wanted to say, you know, you froze when I did this, so I thought my hand was super powerful. And also, are we counting the Thor Hulk 1980, what, two or three movie in there too?
No. He's talking about this year.
I'm talking about this year, the movies that came out this year. Superhero movies have become so good that it's hard now to say, oh, this was such a great movie, because you actually really do have great superhero movies to compare it to. Whereas if this was the 1980s, this would be my favorite movie of all time, right? Because this would be, oh, my God, they finally got a superhero movie out there. This is amazing. I would have been loving it. But now I think because I've come to have higher expectations for what movies should be, superhero movies specifically, because of how great the movies have been. That's why I say it's not the best movie of the year. I rank it 6 out of 7, but it's still really good. I liked it. I had a few problems with it. I thought they were just thinking Thor 1 and 2 were so bad, let's just wipe out everybody who had anything to do with it. It was like the Wonder Woman reset when they decided to just, you know what, let's just kill everyone who's associated with those other movies and just be done with it so we don't have to deal with it ever again. I also thought this was a good movie because it had a storyline, and the story is about a son trying to live up to his father's expectations. And it's not just Thor we're talking about. His brother Loki is also trying to live up to his father's expectations. Even Hela, who in this movie is Odin's daughter, she's trying to live up to her father's expectations. So that's what this movie is about, and I appreciated that this movie was actually about something more than, hey, here's a CGI bad guy, we have to beat him. So I appreciated that. Although, out of all the villains they could have chosen, Hela, I mean, did anybody really care about her at all? I mean, Cate Blanchett did a great job playing her, but did you care if she won or lost?
No, I mean,
yeah. Yeah, I did.
No, you didn't. I mean, she was like a plant. She was a plot motif more than a character.
Right. And yeah. Marvel has a problem with villains. Loki's the only one who's any good.
Who has character. And they did a marvelous job with Loki in this film. But yes. I mean, they really did. I mean, throughout this film, he really did have, I mean, just Thor just releasing his disguise on Asgard and, you know, picking on Loki even when he was in captivity on Sakaar. Just throughout the entire film, Loki was a character and did have some character growth throughout the film. Whereas you're right, a lot of the villains in the Marvel movies are just there to be defeated.
Okay, two quick things about Loki, if you don't mind. First of all, did you notice that they mentioned the time he turned Thor into a frog?
Yep.
Yes.
So there you go, LT. That was just a gift for you.
It's like putting Arcane in there for me, but okay.
Exactly. And second, did you guys notice that it was Matt Damon and Chris Hemsworth's brother as playing Thor and Loki?
I did not
play in Asgard?
Yes.
I always forget how much weight Matt Damon's gained. I didn't even peg him.
Yeah. I looked over at my wife. I'm like, that's Matt Damon. She's like, what? No. Oh, yeah, it is.
Oh yeah.
And let's take a second to just realize how spoiled we are that this is the sixth best superhero movie of the year. You know, in the 80s, we were starved to death. Is anyone still watching The Flash?
Yes.
You are?
Yes.
Are you the only one?
I watch it on occasion. I just don't remember to watch it regularly.
We would have lost our minds for a TV show as good as The Flash back in the day. And it just kind of shows, you know, how much good material and good stuff is out there. We probably would have even watched The Inhumans, which I'm going to get to a little bit later.
No, we wouldn't have.
We are going to have to talk about it at some point. Elephant in the giant bulldog in the room with a fork on his head.
You're just watching a video of your bulldog with a fork on his head is definitely a better show.
Let's talk about Justice League then. Justice League. Mikey, you're the biggest You're the biggest Justice League fan here.
Yep, my first comic book ever was a Justice League of America. I love the Justice League. I am more of a DC guy than I am a Marvel guy, even though I love Marvel.
Was that Justice League the Starro one, if I'm not mistaken?
No, it was not. It was the Injustice Gang of America. But Starro would have been a better villain, okay? So remember when I said Thor was a movie about trying to live up to your parents' expectations? The Justice League is not about anything. And that's the main problem with the movie. They have to come together to stop this guy from destroying the world. But that's not what the movie's about. If the movie was supposed to be about finding hope, which I think is what they were trying to go for, they failed at that. And don't get me wrong, again, I loved this Justice League movie. I enjoyed myself all throughout it. I thought it was great, and I'm happy that I finally got to see the Justice League up on the big screen. But it's the worst superhero movie of the year. The CGI was horrible. The plot line was nonsensical. I understand he's going to terraform the planet, just like Zod was planning on doing it, two movies ago. The whole mother box, for some reason, the mother boxes are calling to him to assemble them, right? The first mother box is on a hidden fucking island by magic, and he finds that. The second one is in Atlantis below the sea, and he finds that. But he can't find the mother box that was buried 4 feet in the ground by a bunch of barbarians hundreds of years ago, and he has to kidnap a bunch of scientists to say, where is it? What? And then the Justice League plays willy-nilly. This is the thing that they need to destroy the Earth. Oh, hey, let's just leave it in this parking lot. What the hell? Did anybody else have a problem with that?
No, but I think that box actually was ticketed for illegal parking. I think there was a ticket on it, right? I really hope Stefan will pay that ticket. If not, that's not right.
Well, I think they were counting on the parking department to put one of those boots on it so that he wouldn't be able to move it.
Anybody got a key for this?
Or they just really trust the police, because apparently nobody gives a shit about their secret identities in this movie, right? I mean, they're like, Lois is shouting, Clark, Clark. You know, it doesn't take the world's greatest detective to say, Lois Lane was married to a dude named Clark. Hey, he died recently, same time as Superman, and she's calling Superman Clark. What? Batman tells Aquaman, first he tells everybody, your name's Arthur Curry, you're the Aquaman, in front of that whole village, and then is like, I'm Batman.
And just walking through the village.
Yeah, as if nobody in that village has Twitter and is like, I just found out Bruce Wayne was Batman.
Well, they have Flounder. It's almost the same thing.
Yeah.
What's your superpower? I am rich.
How do you get to a remote village as a rich guy? A horse?
Yeah.
The hell of a horse.
He doesn't have a bat plane or a bat boat that could get him there. Because it's frozen in.
Or an underground bat crawler.
That's a bat horse.
What's up with the bat crawler? That took me out of it.
Or a fleet of helicopters.
What situation did you want to invest $15 billion into a bat crawler?
So you guys know I did not see the end of the film, so I did not see the final battle. And in my head, Batman's horse saves the day.
Much better scenario.
I don't really know how it ended. I'm not sure I really care, but Batman.
All right, you ready for the spoiler alert?
Yeah, yeah.
It's Steppenwolf. They just kicked his ass. They had Superman. It was Steppenwolf.
No, Josh, okay, since you didn't see the end, out of the crawler came Batman's dog, the Doberman, Ace.
Rex? Ace, that's right.
Yeah. Ace came out. He bit Steppenwolf in the leg, and that ended the whole movie, okay? He just – Ace took down Steppenwolf, and that just sealed the deal.
Yeah. Well, Ace is the place for the helpful hardware. Well,
but remember, when you're recanting this to Bill, tell him that we took Steppenwolf out back and killed him with a shovel.
They just dragged Steppenwolf behind a shed and beat him to death with a shovel.
Yeah. That's the way that should have gone. You missed the best 20 seconds of the movie, by the way, and also the most infuriating 20 seconds. Another spoiler alert. The very end scene, you see Lex Luthor on a – I almost said Luger, which would have been funnier. You see Lex Luthor on a boat, and Deathstroke comes up to him. And they're like, well, you know, they've formed a team. I guess we need a league of our own. Why the – fuck, did you say League of Our Own?
Because they want to start an all-girls superhero team of baseball players.
I get the pun, but you could have said, maybe it's time for us to bring them there. Doom. You fucking fuck-fucks. Fuck you. You ruined the fucking movie with a bad pun about a Rosie O'Donnell movie. You pieces of shit. By the way, the Deathstroke armor looked fucking awesome.
They're going to bring in the DC Bombshells movie next, and they're going to have a league of their own. And Lex Luthor is going to be the manager. Deathstroke is going to be the water boy, and that's the next movie.
So, Josh, you also missed a really good scene at the end where Flash and Superman decide to have a race. And that's actually a very cute scene. You can tell Josh Whedon wrote that scene because if Flash loses, he has to buy everybody brunch.
Because he doesn't understand brunch.
Right. And if Superman loses, Flash gets to tell everyone he beat him. And in fact, I think that whole Superman-Flash interaction in that one scene was probably my favorite scene in the whole movie.
I'll agree, but I couldn't really tell that Josh Whedon wrote that until he killed the Flash.
Well, when that thing came through his chest.
Chest. You're not going to catch me. I'm a leaf on the wind. Blam! Oh, man.
Oh, man.
You know, let's agree that there were some good parts, but the whole gumbo didn't quite work.
Right. And let's agree that Geena Davis has to play a member of the Injustice League.
Oh, that'd be awesome. Cheetah. Saying. I'm just saying.
So you know what I loved about the Superman Flash race at the end? So in the comics, it was always a foot race. But in that race, Superman was flying.
Yeah, because he's a cheater.
Exactly. He's an illegal alien and a cheater. Was that post-credit? Was that a post-credit scene?
Yes.
It was.
And let's say this about Henry Cavill. Other than the weird CGI covering up his mustache, he finally played the Superman I recognized from the comic books, right? I was finally like, okay, great. In this, the scene where he's losing it and has to fight the Justice League, it shows you just how worthless the Justice League is compared to Superman being in there. Because they're all holding him down, and he's just looking at Flash running across the side. Like, I could take all of you at once, and I won't even break a sweat.
That was a great scene when the Flash is running and Superman just ominously starts tracking him. I'm like, all right, that's pretty bad. Yeah.
And I liked, I mean, I'm a traditionalist, but I like this version of the Flash. I like that he's awkwardly social, but because you get to think about it, he moves at super speed. Having a conversation with anyone at that regular speed has to be exhausting for him to go through, right?
I have to agree with that. I remember Quicksilver explaining why he hated people so much, and his explanation is, pretend you're in a bank line for fucking ever. That's what my life is like talking to you right now.
No, he says, imagine standing in a bank line, and when you get to the teller, you get to say one word. And then you go to the back of the line. That's my life.
Wow. That's even better. You remembered it better than I did. That's got to be hell.
That's got to be hell.
So
it's got to be.
So the other really thing that I wanted to happen in Justice League that didn't was the whole family that was in Russia that they kept showing on screen that's living out in this desert in Russia. Nothing really happened with them.
They don't resolve that?
Well, the only thing that happened is they got rescued, but they never got attacked by the parademons. They never had interaction with the parademons. They just got rescued. That's it. They just got pushed out of the way, basically.
Did you know William Dafoe was in this movie? They cut his scenes so they could show that little girl pulling out a can of bug spray. Come on, what the hell? That Russian family had more airtime than every other minor character in this movie. More than frickin' Victor Stone Cyborg's backstory.
And what would have made this movie better is if they were going to give that much airtime to that family, then why didn't the dad fire the shotgun at the parademons? Why didn't the kid then, you know, the parademon that the dad just shot at come closer? The kid should have fired the raid can at them, and then they should have been rescued.
I got a better one. You make that little boy and the little girl, Terra and Geo-Force, and have their parents killed in front of them, and then all of a sudden, you've got two superheroes because they get their powers from whatever cosmic thing happens.
Cosmic thing? They lived in the shadow of Chernobyl.
Right.
which that's not even Chernobyl.
That's enough to give you a mutant power.
Because Chernobyl is in the middle of a forest.
Not anymore. It's not, asshole.
No, it is.
It's not a good-looking forest?
Not in the movie, but in reality, it's in the middle of a forest.
That forest is looking pretty – have you Google Earth that?
Go look at it.
Not a shit ton is growing right around Chernobyl, buddy.
Dude, there's plenty of growing around Chernobyl.
Giant earthworms, like earthworms the size of your forearm, which is horrifying to me, by the way.
There's a lot of mutated stuff, but there's stuff growing around Chernobyl still. But it's not a desert.
It's not a desert, but it's certainly not doing great. It's not, you don't want to farm there.
No, you don't want to farm there, but I'm just saying, it's not the desert that Justice League is portraying. And also, like, they gave all this screen time to this family that had nothing to do with the story, that they did nothing with other than push them out of the way.
Well, they're trying to find hope, remember?
As Mike explained earlier, hope. There was no story. So, yeah, like, I didn't get to see the end of the movie, so I really saw it up until the point – I can't even remember. But it was a –
Look, man, Ace dies at the end, but he died valiantly, saving everyone.
Yeah. What I saw, I was like, I did. I mean, I liked the actor for The Flash. I kind of liked his awkwardness. I did like the scene. I mean, the only thing I really enjoyed about the movie really was the scene where Superman starts tracking The Flash, and The Flash is, like, wide-eyed and completely
terrified.
You know, just terrified. Just like, oh my God, I'm going to die and Superman's going to kill me right now. And I'm never going to ever get out of here. But I'll have to look up the post-credit scene for the race because that sounds funny.
Wonder Woman was excellent, as always. But I have a question for the screenwriters. There are thousands of DC supervillains. You had to have a generic terrorist group that she has to stop. You could have made that the Royal Flush Gang. You could have made it. You could have made it anyone. And why was she on top of that statue at that beginning of that scene? She can't fly.
Because awesomeness.
How'd she get up there? Why would she even be up there? That doesn't make any sense.
Reconnaissance. She was looking down. She was looking reconnaissance, man.
She jumped. She jumped
through stained glass. Because you know, yeah.
All right. I could have fixed this whole movie, and here's how I would have done it. Instead of having Steppenwolf as the villain, if you want an apocalypse, first of all, you make Cyborg have one of the mother boxes inside of him, right? That's what's powering Cyborg. So instead of having to deconstruct this thing in order to save everybody, you're actually trying to save Cyborg. from becoming apocalyptic in technology. So now you have stakes that people care about because you start off by showing his backstory, right?
Yeah.
That would be important. And then the Justice League is trying to save him. And you make the villain Glorious Godfrey.
Ooh.
Who is preaching to everybody that there is no hope left because Superman is dead. And then you have him use apocalyptic technology to infuse him and make him the bad guy. And then you can still have Lois bring him back over. So you can still have that sort of fight. But then you have a story where the main villain is trying to destroy everyone's hope and belief in hope. And that's what the Justice League is fighting for. And that's an easy fix. And, you know, Superman then becomes the guy you have to beat somehow, and you beat him by being smarter and giving people hope. But anyway.
But anyway.
Nobody hires me.
One in Apocalypse, and I was going to argue against that. But Godfrey, now that's a good pick.
Yeah. Could throw in Granny Goodness.
Yeah.
The author had other things to do.
I would like to see Granny on screen.
Arthur as Granny Goodness would give
there
me such a hard off.
No other Granny Goodness, by the way. It has to be B. Arthur.
Oh, no. I'd take Betty White.
She is golden.
Or Cloris Leachman.
No.
No? Cloris Leachman has an Academy Award.
What about Cloris Leachman? What about Dame Judi Dench?
Judi Dench can do anything. Nobody shake your heads. Don't even try to rebuke Judi Dench. The man has a point. She could do anything.
She could have played Apocalypse, and I would have been like, "Well done, Dame Judi Dench."
Right, that's Dame Judi.
You gave the movie.
Right.
You played a planet, and I loved it.
Dame Judi Dench.
Why is everybody walking on Dame Judi Dench? Shut up! She's doing a fantastic job.
Fantastic.
She's a national treasure. Everyone get off Jane Judy Dench.
Fucking A.
All right, so we've talked about two of the big movies. This whole episode's going to be called, you know, the Long Box Guys Go to the Movies. Any other movies from this year you want to talk about that we missed?
I just want to point one other thing out about Thor. I know, yeah, it's totally – we're way past the Thor thing, but the one – of Thor's major problems is he doesn't have any villains. Thor actually doesn't have any villains you want to care about. It's one of it's been even long running in the comics. They keep digging up bad villains for Thor, and he never really has a very good nemesis besides Loki. Once you get away from Loki, you're kind of stuck.
Yeah, I gotta agree with you. I never thought the Grey Gargoyle was that great a villain.
Yeah, you can't put Fin Fang Foom or Jermungand on screen.
Fin Fang Foom was one of the champions on that tower.
Was he?
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Shit. I got to go see a picture of it.
Him, Bi-Beast.
Yeah, I saw Bi-Beast.
And Man-Thing.
I didn't see Man-Thing. Are you lying about Man-Thing?
No. If I was lying, I would have been like an arcade.
That's right.
Now, I don't know if you noticed, Stiltman was also one of those champions. You probably didn't see it because he was on the back of the building, but trust me,
he was there.
I like Bi-Beast.
That's pretty funny. So, I did not notice Fin Fang Foom.
I mean, other than the Enchantress, I can't really even think of a Thor villain.
Yeah, Enchantress would actually not be a bad villain.
Not
Absorbing
yeah,
Man?
Well, the Destroyer.
Absorbing Man? The Wrecking Crew? Come on.
Oh, the Wrecking Crew, yeah.
But I don't really think of them as like a strictly Thor villain, though.
Yeah, they're not.
They're powered
by get their ass beat by a lot of people.
Loki empowers them.
Yeah.
It's true.
The house that bleeds dough.
Oh my god, you make that a horror movie and put Thor in it?
That would be awesome.
I'm there.
I would totally watch The House That Bleeds Dough starring Chris Hemsworth.
I would have liked to have seen Titania in the movie.
Yeah. Or you do Absorbing Man in Titania.
That'd be nice. Yeah, I could deal with that.
Ronda Rousey is Titania?
Oh yeah. Sure.
Yeah.
I think she's been KO'd from frickin' from sports and freaking entertainment in general, right? That girl has disappeared since she got beaten. That girl's got no heart. I liked her when she was undefeated, and then she got beaten once, and now she's a freaking shadow.
Twice.
Okay, she's a shadow twice. Like, the girl's got, yeah.
Well, everyone figured out that all she had was the ground game. Yeah.
Anyway, back to your I took us off on a back-to-Thor tangent. The wheel had come around, so let's go back to minor offerings that have happened this year in the Marvel and DC Universe shows and whatnot.
Well, all right, let's talk real quick about one that did play in the movie theater, and that was The Inhumans. Did anyone see the first episode even?
I have watched 5 episodes of The Inhumans, and I have to say,
you are my hero.
I have to say I enjoy it slightly more than I can't even find anything that I enjoy it slightly more than. Oh my
Wait, do you enjoy it slightly more than getting hit in the head?
A colonoscopy?
They put me under for the colonoscopy. The doctor sends me flowers afterwards. I don't know what he does there, but
Do you enjoy it slightly more than the flu?
I get a lot of chicken soup when I get the flu, and I get to sleep on the couch in a really comfy blanket and not work. So I'm going to go with the flu.
Well, I'll just say the flu never disappoints me.
You know what you're getting with the flu.
Right.
That's right. Yeah.
I'm like, I'm going to be sick for like 3 or 4 days.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And but I'm okay with that.
It's not going to be stupid.
But you know what? Marvel has done a horrible job with their TV shows as opposed to their movies, which have all been really good lately. Their TV shows have been quite abysmal. I haven't seen.
Well, I hope you're not including their Netflix series in that.
Have you watched The Defenders?
The Defenders is pretty bad, but mostly because it's Iron Fist screwing every scene.
Okay.
I know. But, I mean, and they don't even have his iPod in it to redeem it.
Oh my God! I would kill you on toast, you fuckface.
Well, also, we have a couple other shows by Marvel on Hulu. They have The Runaways right now, and that is excellent.
Don't spoil. Okay, I know we're doing spoilers on this, but do not. I have not. I've queued up The Runaways. I haven't watched any of it, but I've heard good things.
Yes, it is the best Marvel TV show out there right now. Okay, although this year earlier they had Legion. Now I know that's not from Marvel Studios, that's from Fox, but Legion season 1 was good.
Okay, it got off the rails up for me.
See, I only saw the first 3 episodes and then I was just going to catch up later on.
All right.
But yeah, The Defenders was not great. What about The Gifted? People got thoughts on The Gifted? How much of The Gifted have people seen?
2 episodes over here.
I'm caught up.
I have not seen any of it.
I'm like maybe an episode or two behind. Yeah. It's pretty standard. Actually, you know what? If they just scraped Gifted off the title and put Heroes on there, I wouldn't know the difference.
Right. And unfortunately, we're at a time in our lives where we can look at a superhero TV show and say, "Yeah, man, I don't have time for that. Sorry."
Yeah.
We're so spoiled in that way.
Oh, yeah. So,
it's not good.
But what about DC? They've been killing it. Have you guys been watching Gotham?
I've been watching Gotham. Gotham's still pretty good.
Professor Pig has been the main villain this year, and they have made him a butchering psychopath like he should be. He's horrifying.
I watched like maybe 3 or 4 episodes of season 1 of Gotham and I passed.
Man, you're lost. I think it's ramping up.
I will take a look at this season. Gifted, I'm probably going to give a pass on. I don't know how much more I can watch of that.
Start with the Professor Pig stuff on Gotham and see if you like it. Also, Flash, have you guys been watching that? Last season was really dark. This season's back to being a fun comic book, and they introduced the frickin' Elongated Man, and it is magical.
That's what I was going to go back for.
All right, When does that start up?
That's just a season, like the first like couple
episode
episodes.
Episode three or
season.
Four.
Yeah.
Introduces Ralph Dibny. And the guy playing him is just spot on.
All right, I'll start back up for that.
I probably watched like the first three seasons of Flash for pretty much solid all the way through. And then after that, I got kind of picky. Like, you know, I watched the Garrod episodes and
King Shark.
And then I said after nitpicking, I just dropped off again. But once I saw him punch Plastic Man in the face and his fist sink in, I was like, I can't believe it. They got me back in.
Well,
you bastard.
Real quick, that's not Plastic Man. That's the Elongated Man.
Sorry, Elongated Man. I'm like,
and second, I knew they were going to lose you when they started doing too much alternate universe stuff.
I hate time travel.
Yeah.
Did anyone watch Future Man?
Oh,
Futterman
show.
Yeah.
I'm about halfway through.
I binge watch. Now you guys know me pretty well. You know I never binge watch. I didn't even binge watch Luke Cage. Because I wanted to make it last. But Future Man kind of sucked me in. It's a great drinking TV show. Couple shots in you, and it's a lot funnier. Trust me on that.
I was just telling everyone here what to do with my penis in the bathroom.
I have no idea why I like this show so much. The writing's not particularly good. The acting's not particularly good. I think it's such a throwback, and I saw so much stuff from the 80s that it just kept me. I'm like, all right, one more episode. It wasn't that good, but I watched and enjoyed every single episode. And I don't usually do that. Did you guys find that happening, Josh?
I like it. Christina, my wife, basically bailed, you know, halfway through episode one. And I have a friend who's been staying at the house recently, and it's like our show. So when he shows up, we, like, watch the show. And so it's good.
Staying at your house, Josh?
I guess it's public knowledge. A friend of mine is recently divorced in between places to live.
Oh, I didn't know that.
So we're letting him – he's got the guest room here, so he's here, you know, a couple nights a week. And so when he's
– Is it me?
It's not you yet.
Okay. Because that's my room. Dr. Elaine the Strange is going to figure out what a scumbag I am at some point.
So, yeah. So it's good. We, you know, and it's – yeah, I really like the show. It's – the writing is somewhat hilarious. The acting is somewhat bad, and I really hope the acting is somewhat bad because they're trying to act poorly. But, I mean, yeah, it's terrible. It's like old Doctor Who or just – it's like – yeah, it's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. Yeah.
The guy playing Wolf reminds me of the guy that played Charlie on Philadelphia. If Charlie had gone to the gym every single day of his life.
I can see that.
That's who I thought he was at first. I'm like, holy shit, did he fall into a gym and had to work his way out? What the fuck happened to him?
It's a watchable show, though. It's just ridiculous. Turn your brain off, have a beer. And just sit down and watch some ridiculous humor. It's good. I like it.
Have a beer and do some coke because there's no downside to coke.
Yeah.
That comes up later. Josh, you're not there yet. Come more episodes in, you'll see there's no downside to coke.
Have you tried this meth? It's delicious.
Yeah. Any other shows we should go over while we're doing TV and movies?
Has anybody started watching The Punisher?
Yeah, I watched the first episode.
I watched the first three episodes with my wife, and she looked at me and she goes, "Oh my god, are we done with the season already?" And I'm like, "No, we just watched the third episode." She's like, "Oh, this is really dragging." She was like, "We had to watch 13 hours of this." I'm like, "No, it's been three."
I kind of like it. I'm still in. I'm in episode maybe like six. I'm still riding the wave. I like guy who plays the radio man there.
I love the fact that main villain that I thought was going to be the main villain was the Homeland Security special agent in charge of New York. And I love the depiction of these Homeland Security special agents. They seem so high speed.
Oh, yeah.
So smart.
Yeah.
So good looking.
And they seem to have an unlimited budget. They can do whatever they want. It's amazing. Yeah.
It's amazing.
No paperwork whatsoever.
Please.
There's no paperwork.
Anything else?
What else has come around this year? I don't know.
That's it, I guess, guys.
The Defenders, the Inhumans, Gifted, mm-hmm. the Runaways.
That, I mean, that's a cornucopia.
Yeah.
I mean, that is a lot of good stuff out there for us. The Flash, Gotham. I'm just happy to be living in this time. The nerds have taken over, and by God, we're not giving it back up.
Oh, no. I'm sorry. One more thing. Have you been watching Legends of Tomorrow? It's a bad show.
Yes.
But
they had an episode with the Bwana Beast in it.
I love Bwana Beast.
I'm just saying. I saw the Bwana Beast, and I was like, I should call Tom. But then I thought, I don't really like Tom, so I'm not going to tell him about it.
Nice. If I go to the gym as if I'm training for the Olympics, I might someday cosplay as the Bwana Beast. But there's not a lot of cosplay there.
So I'm going to go here's my tangent. And if you guys have Netflix and you haven't watched the series and you're a fan of Katie Sackhoff, shoot, Battlestar Galactica. Anyway, I love Longmire. If you haven't watched Longmire on Netflix.
Yeah, I like Longmire.
Right.
I just watched the series finale yesterday.
No spoilers.
No spoilers. But 6 seasons, the show is done. If you like any combination of Western procedural cop shows, I really enjoyed the entire Longmire series. It's 6 series on Netflix. Check it out.
So the tangent is non-science fiction superhero movies or TV shows that we love this year. Is that the tangent?
Sure, let's do that.
Because I'm Pickle Rick!
I'm Pickle Rick!
Pickle Rick!
So I discovered The Man in the High Tower, or The Man in the High Castle.
Man in the High Castle.
And I thought it was excellent. And we totally forgot to talk about The Tick, which is another superhero show that came out this year, which I liked. I know, Josh, you didn't like it.
I
thought it was great.
Yeah.
That's a high bar.
Yeah. And it's tough because I loved what's his name? Who did the who was the original live action Tick?
Warburton.
Yeah, Warburton. Yeah, Patrick Warburton, who's actually one of the producers on the new show, which means he was on set. Dude, just put the suit on and go in. Like, don't mess with my emotions. The fuck with my emotions.
The guy playing
the Tick.
You're
not doing this very good. Give me the suit.
It's not quite the same. And actually, what's his name? Who's the original author? Has some writing credits there, but I still don't. Yeah, England. But I still don't get just the dialogue and the narrative you come to expect from the comic and the cartoon. And yeah. I know England didn't write any of the previous live action series, but they kept a lot of the spirit there. And I just felt like they just lost. There's a cadence to how the Tick talks and what he talks about. And I think they just lose that with the writing a little bit. I'm not even sure it's the actor. I think honestly it's the writing, but there's a cadence there and a flow to how he riffs and talks about justice. And I need that.
I need to put the thick syrupy butter of justice upon these pancakes of crime that you're doing.
Yeah, that's what I need.
Yeah.
And that would have been better writing than some of the stuff he said.
They just lose some of the flow there, and he just talks like a normal person at times, and it breaks it for me.
Tommy, any recommendations of non?
Well, I just watched Humans on Netflix, and I like that.
Also good.
Oh yeah, that was kind of funny. I remember.
Totally
that.
Watchable. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, The Handmaid's Tale. Anyone watch that?
I have not. Yeah, it's on my list.
Dude, it's dark, but it's good.
It's a little too rapey for me.
There's a lot of rape. I mean, if you like rape.
You're in Congress?
So it's not rape-ish.
It's rapeful.
It's rapeful. I have not watched it.
It's not just rapeful. It's like, say thank you for the rape. Thank you for the rape. I mean, that's part of it.
And that's only streaming. What is that on? Is that Amazon?
I think it's on Hulu.
Hulu.
Yeah, Hulu. You're right.
Because I don't have it, so I think it's on Hulu.
Gotcha.
Well, I think that's going to do it. We'll just do tangents this week because we're running super long. Guys, do we have anything to plug?
Yes, we would like to thank Kirby Crackle for providing our geek rock music. You can check them out at kirbycracklemusic.com. Also, we are hopefully going to be appearing at Wizard World New Orleans January
5th, 6th, and 7th
at the Ernest Moriel Convention Center. If you want to buy your tickets online, you can get 20% off if you use the code MOREFUN, M-O-R-E-F-U-N. It gets you 20% off the tickets.
And if you put in the code LOGBOX, guys, it doesn't do dick.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're also going to be at Pensacon this year. That is
February something or other.
The last weekend of February.
Last weekend of February, yes. It's going to be
awesome.
Call
the internet. Look it up.
Yeah.
Go to the end of February when you can't go anymore. That's when it'll be.
Just go hang out in Pensacola, Florida. Someone will tell you when.
Yeah.
Tommy, anything to plug?
GeekOrthodox.com, our good friends, where they sell the Johnny Skywalker rocks glass, like the one I've been drinking my scotch out of tonight. And also they have some great T-shirts and other geeky things.
So if you have a Game of Thrones fan in your life, I would recommend you go to GeekOrthodox.com. They have T-shirts related to Game of Thrones. It's all rock and roll band T-shirts that are based on the Game of Thrones with the tour dates and everything on the back. It's really cool. Check it out.
I would like to congratulate Victor Dandridge for becoming the Artist Alley Coordinator for WizardCon.
I'm sorry, is that the dreamy Victor Dandridge?
I'm sorry. I would like to congratulate the dreamy Victor Dandridge for becoming WizCon's Artist Alley Coordinator. Congratulations, dude. Good stuff.
I'm sorry, is that the hardest working man in comics, Victor Dandridge?
I would like to congratulate the hardest working man in comics, dreamy Victor Dandridge, for becoming the WizardCon Artist Alley National Coordinator. We really appreciate you, dude. Congratulations. Good stuff.
Yeah, and honestly, couldn't happen to a better guy. He knows every single artist. He's a great artist himself. I mean, this is just a good guy to pick.
Good job, WizCon.
I would like to thank my PlayStation 4 for giving me lots to do this week. Thanks, PlayStation 4. Battlefront 2 is as addicting as Super Crack. So if anyone's never tried Super Crack, try Battlefront 2. I also like to thank my comic book store, Kamikaze, Eisner Award-winning comic book store, and also a great place just to go and shop and have fun. I'd like to thank Josh's dog over there. He's having a good time over there. And that's everything I got to plug. Guys, I'll see you in about a week. What are we going to talk about next week?
Jean Grey.
Not me. I'm talking about Marvel Girl.
Oh.
Or maybe the Phoenix.
I thought we were talking about the Phoenix.
I was going to talk about the Dark Phoenix, so everyone gets their own pick. Choose one.
Are we talking about Madeline Pryor?
That's just a clone. A cheap whore of a clone.
Cheap knockoff.
I'm just kidding.
Yeah, hopefully no one marries her.
She really had a bad time. Cyclops treated her terribly.
Cyclops did treat her terribly.
I don't blame her for turning into that evil demoness.
I'm surprised she didn't do it earlier. Yeah. All right, well, that's going to do it for us. Mikey, what is this podcast like to you?
Like Drunk History, but for comic books.
And Josh, we're going to be in New Orleans pretty soon. Is that your sector?
It is not my sector, but I'll be patrolling the bars just in case.
What's your favorite drink down there?
Booze.
Tommy, what's this podcast like to you?
Well, this may not be the podcast that you want, but it is the podcast you deserve.
And don't forget what I always say. Don't diss what you hate. Just promote what you love, unless it's the JLA movie or the Green Lantern movie. You'll live a lot longer. Love you guys. Have a great night.
Screw you. I love both of them.
We melt the highway miles away like sunfire. No stopping tonight. A double-double, the only thing that can break our stride. Vulture run blast and we're rocking the cruise. With dark night we're flying with nothing to lose. The wind whipping by like a banshee scream. The taillights are dragging.
my own asshole. I don't need somebody to help with an enema, dude. Like, how much effort can it be? I don't know. I've never had to try because I just got old this year, apparently. Because I have to take a shit so big my back hurts. I have to take a shit so big my spine aches. That's not right.